Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Hey, I'm here at Fitness 19, a gym near Verve, owned by Tom and Melissa Brandt, who go to Verve. And, you know, some people show up at a gym working out by themselves, but a lot of people have a personal trainer. Quick survey, show of hands. If it was totally free, no cost to you at all financially, who would want to have a personal trainer? Right, a lot of us, right? Sometimes I'll see a show about the making of a movie, and they'll talk about how the actor had a personal trainer who helped him to get in shape, and the actor got totally ripped. And I think, yeah, I think I could get in pretty good shape if I had a personal trainer watching what I eat, making sure I'm doing the right exercises. If I had someone like that, I think I'd get somewhere. So how about this? What if you had a personal trainer type person, but for your relationships? Someone to help you navigate with wisdom the most important relationships in your life, like, you know, family and friends. Or maybe there's some other area of your life where you wouldn't mind getting that kind of help. A personal trainer for school who could help you with studying, preparing for tests. Or maybe a financial personal trainer who could coach you in spending less, saving more. A personal trainer at work, constantly yelling, write that memo, and you call that a cover sheet. But seriously, someone who can motivate you and guide you towards becoming a big success. Well, today we're concluding our groupie series. And in this series, we're looking at the kind of community that God wants us to experience in church. Some of us have really strong and deep relationships in our homes, which is great. But God wants us to take the community we're experiencing there beyond the four walls of our house and into some relationships in the church. Now, some of us come to church with an expectation of what it's supposed to be like. It's showing up for a service on Sunday, saying hi to some people in the lobby, kind of getting your spiritual fix, doing our religious duty, and then we go home. But God wants us to experience something really dynamic in being part of his church. God wants you to experience deep community with some people at Verve who are on a similar journey to you. But that doesn't come real natural for some of us. And so in this series, we're attacking that problem head on and talking about some of the building blocks of real community. 2 weeks ago, we talked about authenticity, that to have deep relationships, we're going to have to stop hiding who we are and find some safe people who we can be real with. Last week, we discussed availability, where we really share our lives together, make some time, and share our resources and abilities with each other. Today, we're going to talk about the next level, which is accountability. God says that part of his dream for our lives is that we would do church in a way that we would have some accountability relationships in it. Now, we have a lot of misconceptions about accountability, and I'm hoping today to clear up some of them. One of the first misconceptions is that having accountability is restricting when actually it's freeing. We think it's restricting, but it's freeing. It sounds like accountability is supposed to be for people who need to be watched, you know, people who need to be held accountable, like we're wearing relational handcuffs, but that's not it. God's plan is that accountability would be very freeing for us. Having accountability is what allows us to finally experience real freedom. God tells us in the Bible, James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, when we hear words like sin, we don't like them, but we don't really understand it. The word sin literally means to miss the target. It's anything in our lives that's missing a target, anything where we're falling short of what God wants for us and really what we want for us, any area that I want to change and experience growth in and where I need to be free. God says we need to be healed in those areas. Healing is all about change and growth. It's about becoming what I want to be, what God wants me to be. How does that happen? Well, this verse says it happens within the context of community, within the context of sharing our lives with one another, within the context of confessing, which means being honest with some friends about what we're struggling with our sins. And that's not restricting. It's actually freeing. A second misconception is that accountability is about expertise, but it's actually about relationship. Like with a personal trainer, why would you want one? Well, to be all you can be, to be what you know you can be, what God created you to be. But if you think about it, it's not really because of the expertise of the personal trainer. It's because of the relationship. in those different areas where we'd like to have a personal trainer. Is your problem really that you don't know what to do? No. I mean, if you got a financial personal trainer, they tell you to spend less, to wait for sales, to save more. But you already know that. If you got a relational personal trainer, they tell you to treat people with respect, to be kind, to be patient, to listen. But you already know that. If you got a physical personal trainer, they tell you to work out at least 3 times a week, to eat less fat and sugar and more vegetables, to not go through the fast food drive-through. But you already know that. See, what we need is not more knowledge or expertise. What we really need is someone who will hold us accountable. My friend was talking to a personal fitness trainer, works in a gym like this, and she told him that most of her clients have let themselves go and are too embarrassed to go to the gym and don't feel confident about doing it on their own. And so she said, most of my clients have money, and so they have me come to them instead of going to the gym. My friend asked, are they paying you for expertise or accountability? And she said, oh, way more than 50% of it is accountability. I'm like that new pair of running shoes that makes you feel obligated to start running. You know, it's they're paying me for my services, but really it's so that they'll feel accountable. What people really need and are paying for is the relationship, not the expertise. Because it's not the expertise we need, it's the relationship. And it's the relationship that brings accountability. We don't need experts, we need supportive, accountable relationships focused on helping us do what we already know we need to do. God tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, stir one another up to good works. He's saying that we need to challenge each other and encourage each other to do what we know we need to do. That's accountability. A third misconception we have is that accountability is about being forced when it's really about choosing. You know, in the past decades, we've seen ethic problems in businesses like Enron and WorldCom. And so now corporate bigwigs are facing new requirements to be held accountable. And that's compulsory. It's forced on them. But that's not God's plan. Accountability should be voluntary, not compulsory. God puts it this way in Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, one friend sharpens another. One time I was driving and I hit a car from behind. We were both going really slow. It was just a little fender bender. We both got out of our cars and the person pointed to the spot where it looked like I had put a dent or a scratch. And I looked at it, went down, rubbed it. And I realized that I had just gotten their car dirty. It was just dirt. Like my car was so dirty that it got their car dirty. And I said, actually, I just got your car dirty. And, you know, with some people in our lives, it's like when we bump into them, it just makes us a little bit dirtier. You know what I mean? We all have friends like that. What God is saying is we need some friends who make us cleaner. Some friends when we spend time together, it sharpens you. You become more godly. We do the things we need to do. But that can't be forced. Accountability is kind of like a personal trainer. If someone pays for you to have one, but it's really not something you're interested in, you're not going to take advantage of it. A personal trainer can really help in my life if I see the need for it and I want that accountability in that relationship and I'm willing to pay the price for it. As iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend. It's not forced. It's a choice we make because I want that, because I need some safe people to speak truth into my life. A fourth misconception is that accountability is primarily corrective, but God means for it to be mainly proactive and preventative. There are so many things that happen that we never plan to happen, right? Like no dad plans to work so much he becomes a stranger to his kids. No couple walks down the aisle planning to get a divorce. No one starts pursuing a career planning on becoming so obsessed with climbing the corporate ladder that they end up with a Mercedes and a 5-bedroom house, but not a single friend. No mom gets discouraged and picks up a glass of wine to take the edge off planning on becoming an alcoholic. We don't plan for stuff like that to happen, but it does. And often things like that happen because we lacked accountability. See, we think accountability comes into play when we've screwed up, when I have a sinful pattern in my life or make a huge mistake. Then this accountability that should be happening with my close friends can jump in and help me at that point because it can either blast me for it or pull me out of the problem or whatever. But really, when accountability is working right, it will prevent a lot of that stuff from ever happening in the first place. When my wife was pregnant with our second child, she got really sick, had to spend like a month in the hospital. During that time, I was being a full-time dad and a full-time mom to my almost two-year-old son. I was also a full-time pastor. I was driving back and forth to the hospital every day, being a part-time nurse to my wife, and I kind of fell apart spiritually. I just got so busy and so caught up in all, feeling bad for myself that I stopped reading the Bible. I stopped praying. I really didn't have much time, but even when I did have time, I didn't spend it with God. I was not where I needed to be. And so for almost a month, I just kind of was sinking spiritually. And finally, I decided that I should not be a pastor anymore, that I was not in a place where I should be preaching in a church. It just seemed hypocritical to not spend time with God during the week and then represent him on Sundays. So I decided one night that I was going to quit or take a leave of absence. And that night, my friend called me and he said, "How are you doing?" And for the first time in a long time, I was honest. I said, "Not too good." He said, "I'm coming over." I said, please don't come over." He said, "I'm coming over." And I said, "Don't come over." But he did. And I told him how I was doing. I told him I was going to quit being a pastor or take a leave of absence. And he challenged me. He said, "Vince, you're being an idiot." He said, "I'm going to leave and you're going to open your Bible and you're going to read and you're going to pray. Just get back to it. Come on." And I said, "Man, I wouldn't even know what to read in the Bible right now." And he said, "Okay, then read the book of James." And he left. And just to be kind to him, I opened up and read the book of James, and God showed up. I mean, I had this incredible experience with God, and starting that night, my life totally changed around, and it was all because of my friend. And it was great because it was accountability, but it was corrective accountability. My question is, what if I had preventive accountability in my life back then? What if I had someone who I was regularly meeting with and was asking me, "Are you reading the Bible? Are you praying?" What if that someone had helped me to stay on track and close to God even during those tough weeks? I probably wouldn't have gone into the spiritual tailspin I did, and none of that would have happened in the first place. The cool thing is that I now have that in my life. I've got a Verve group, a guys group, where we provide each other not only weekly, but actually daily encouragement and accountability. We text each other every night to check in on our priorities and areas of temptation, and that is proactive accountability. That's what we're looking for. And I filmed a video this week with my group, and I want to just let you get a peek in at just some of our guys and how we got into our group and what it's done for us. Talking about Verve groups, what led you to first get into a Verve group?
Well, I was asked. I had no intention, never even thought about being in a Verve group. I mean, I serve, but when I was approached, it took two or three invites before I said yes. Now it's like it's part of my life. It's on my schedule, and I'm bummed out when we don't have it.
Well, for me, as you know my story, I grew up Catholic, and even coming to this church was a little different, and rock and roll, where's the organ to? It's a little different. And when you invited me to come to a microgroup, I was like, whoa, wait a minute, slow down. This is where they're going to get us to drink the Kool-Aid. and as you know, I was super hesitant, and I just thought, oh, I can't commit, because I thought you were asking me to commit like forever. And then you just said, well, just come for a week or two. I'm like, okay. Just see what they're up to, and I've been coming ever since. It's changed my life, and it's really given me a support group that is God-based.
For me, it's really just, it's like almost like an extended family. I mean, like other brothers, almost.
Dysfunctional family.
Yeah, well, it's really, really real. Yeah, boom! Earlier this year, I went through sort of a crisis period that happened. I emailed you guys asking for some advice and prayers, and your response was, "Let's get together today and figure this out." And I was like, "Wow, that was pretty awesome that you guys were there for me." And it's, you know, just a reminder that we don't have to live this life alone. We've got each other, so it's pretty cool.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, these groups are awesome because, you know, you get these people who are doing life with you and there for you. And Las Vegas can be a lonely place for a lot of people, and so we need that kind of, like you said, people, not just friends, but people are on the same journey, trying to move forward towards God, towards the better life he has for us, and doing it together is a lot better than doing it alone.
The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." That's talking about accountability. Every day, there's just so much that can tear us down, lead us in the wrong direction. That's why we need accountability relationships in advance to help us from falling to temptation or, you know, crashing our lives. We need people who know what our values are and will hold us to them, who know the habits and practices we want in our lives, who know what kind of friend and neighbor and husband or wife and daughter or son I want to be. We need accountability in advance, not just when things fall apart. We all need someone who will walk the road of life with us. We all need that kind of accountability. Well, one last misconception about accountability is that people believe it's natural when really it's supposed to be supernatural. We live in a self-help culture. There's just all this stuff about helping yourself. And when we hear about accountability, you might think, oh, so this is like self-help, but it's friend help. It's getting a friend to help me stay on track and grow. Yeah, and that is true, but it's much more than that. Jesus talked about when two or three of you come together in my name, I am with you. And he said, if two people agree on something in prayer, I'm with you. And it's true that Jesus is always with us, but there's something significant about how he's with us when we partner with other people. You know, there's some added dimension of power when Jesus followers do life with other Jesus followers in community. Now, two people who are not Christians could become accountability partners, or a Christian could do accountability with a person who's not yet a believer. But in either case, that would be natural. What we're talking about today is supernatural accountability. When a group of Christ followers, even just two or three Christians, decide to stop hiding their real selves and be authentic, and then take it the next step by sharing personal stuff and asking deep questions and encouraging each other, challenging each other to live godly lives. Man, when that happens, something supernatural occurs. It's not just those two or three people or the 10 or 12 people in that group and their collective wisdom and relational strength at work. No, God goes to work in a special way in what's happening between those people. And now God's wisdom is discovered, his determination is applied, his strength is available, and that's when accountability really begins to work. When people start putting behind themselves in their sinful patterns and that they thought would never die, and people start living in hope and peace and joy and purpose like they never dreamed possible. And it's because you have this group of friends who are good for you, but even more because you've got a God who is good for you. And you're giving him so much more room to work in your life because you're now living out accountability. And it's not natural. It's supernatural. I'm done talking about misconceptions we have about accountability. And hopefully you understand a little better what it means. But let me give you a word of warning. Most people will let this accountability stuff go in one ear and out the other. Typically, people agree that it sounds good, sounds important, but most of us are not going to plug into the power of accountability. And it's either because we're too proud or we're too scared. We're either too proud to admit we're missing the target in some areas and need some help from others, or we're too scared. We're afraid of how would others react if I let them know my real private stuff. But stop and think about this with me for a minute. Think about those areas in your life where you'd like to see some change and growth. Think about them. Think about the areas of your life where you'd like to see some healing take place, pain from your past. Pick one or two in your mind. So those areas where your life is a little messy right now, and it might just be your whole life in general, do you really want to keep going the way it is? Do you like where your path is taking you, at least in those areas? Have you thought about how bad it might get? And so the cost of accountability, having to overcome that pride or that fear, is it really bigger than the cost of not getting accountability? The price you may have to pay if things don't change. If you're like me, you spend a lot of time focused on these stuck areas of your life thinking, why won't God help me? And why can't I change? I want to grow. I want to heal. Why won't God help me? The answer is that God has offered you help. He's told you where and how to find it. He said, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another and you'll be healed. And so you say, why won't God help me? And he says, that's why I gave you the church. That's why I gave you the safest place on earth. That's why I had this idea of people meeting in smaller groups within the church. That's why I made up this thing called community that should happen between you and a few friends that you're getting close to in the church. I'm trying to help you, but will you accept my offer? Will you live out accountability? And listen, I'm not talking about, someone comes along and you'll do this if everything lines up perfectly. No, I'm saying take a step. If you're not in a Verb group, take that as your first step. You could sign up today. There's a table in the lobby. We've got new groups starting. Other groups are expanding. They're on a semester basis. You're not signing up for life. It's just for a few months. If you're not in a group, take that step. And if you're in a group, would you open up a little more with your group? And don't let pride or fear keep you from accountability, because if it does, it's going to keep you from the life God has for you, the life you really want to live. I want to wrap up with one last thought about accountability, and this is a big one. A lot of us have decided to not have accountability in our lives, but you really can't make that choice, because you will be held accountable for your life. The only question is when, because God is a God of accountability, and he's not going to let you get by without it. That's what the Bible says in Romans 14:12. It says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now that's talking about judgment day. And after we pass from this life and before we move on to the next, we're going to stand before God and he's going to call us to account for how we lived our lives. Nothing will be hidden from him. We will stand before God and give an account for our entire lives. Now that may sound scary, and in a sense, maybe it should, but you need to know that God's intention for that day is not to just bust you for everything you've done wrong. In fact, God tells us in the Bible that his dream for that day is to be able to look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate. But there's another response we can get from God that day of accounting, something like, man, what a terrible way you chose to live. So here's the deal. God's accountability is not supposed to surprise us like, you know, an end of the year pop quiz or something. It should be the kind of thing that we've experienced before all through our lives. And so we're not shocked or scared of being held accountable by God at all, because it's something we experience throughout our entire lives and we have no secrets. This is why God urges us to have accountability relationships, so that the accounting at the end of our lives is a thing of joy. So we're prepared for it like a test we knew was coming, and we can't wait for it because we know we're going to ace a test. Like being so ready for an audit that we can't wait to hear the result. God wants to be able to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, let's celebrate. For that to happen, though, we need to start getting some accountability in our lives right now. We need that personal trainer who's helping us to live lives that are free and everything we want them to be, everything God intends. Don't let fear, don't let your pride get in the way of that. We all need accountability. Take the next step. Let's pray for that right now. Let's pray. God, thanks for being a God who loves us, and you love us no matter what. But you love us despite our sin, but you love us too much to just leave us in our sin. You love us even in our pain and brokenness, but you don't want us to stay there. And so you give us the church, and you have this idea of people meeting in smaller groups in the church so that they have closer friendships, so that they can share their struggles, they can confess their sins, they can seek wisdom and encouragement and find healing. So God, would you help us? I know it's scary. I know we have pride that gets in our way, fear that gets in our way, but would you help us to take the next step we need to take to open up more with some trusted people and to get accountability in our lives so that we look forward to the day of accountability when we stand before you? It's not something that scares us at all. God, help us to have the courage to take that next step. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.